All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Roger and Stone Show, beer and a song edition with my buddy Nate again coming in. Unfortunately, Joe couldn't make it. We'll probably get him on the next one, but Nate is joining us as always. And as always, it is a pleasure. So, Nate, thank you for showing up again, sir.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right, man. So how's things been going over there, man?
Good. Busy. Started a new job myself, going into medical, which is a completely new venture and avenue. So, you know, I'm learning a lot, way outside my comfort zone. Cool little office, great people. So not complaining. You know, we moved to South Carolina. We've been here for a full year now. Right. And I, you know, stayed on with my company in Florida, kind of in a freelance, you know, when needed, when I could help out kind of thing. And then I essentially, you know, didn't have a job for 6 to 9 months and was working on the brewery and pushing that, but, you know, not making any money.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, at some point you kind of got to get back into reality. So we're kind of shifting gears and reassessing our path forward. And, you know, so I went and got me a job. And so that's been my big thing right now, just learning that, concentrating on that, but still hanging out with my 3-year-old, still living in the mountains, playing in the woods, still drinking beer and listening to music.
Perfect. That sounds perfect. Living in the woods, drinking beer, listening to music.
Yeah. Yeah. Had a little bonfire last weekend because we, you know, had a giant pile of trees that had fallen that I chopped up with a chainsaw and burned them all up good.
So how's the weather over there, man? Is it getting a little warmer or what's happening?
It's still a little chilly, but that's, you know, 10 years in South Florida speaking. It's getting warmer. Yeah. It's getting, you know, you're seeing some blue skies. You're seeing spring's doing something. you know, you're starting to see the earliest blooms, I think they're like daffodils, the wild daffodils coming up. Dogwoods are blooming. We had a really mild winter and a really early spring. So I think we're seeing our early spring hit, but I'm still putting on a sweater and a coat going outside. And we get good swings. You know, it might be 65, close to 70 during the day, and then that sun goes down and it drops down to, you know, 45 or something. So still seeing some good swings in the temperature. But, you know, again, I'm enjoying it because I was in South Florida for 10 years where it was 90 degrees and 90% humidity at midnight on Christmas. You know, it was just that all the time. So I'm not complaining about the weather, but we're ready for spring to get here and, you know, get some blooms, get some green, kind of get back to life.
Yeah. So with that, with you being in the South Carolina woods, what comes with that? I mean, more wildlife, like does anything ramp up? Does anything go away?
So I haven't figured out how the bears work. We saw bears all spring, all fall, all summer. I chased them off my driveway. They got into my garbage. We see mom going by with 3 cubs. I mean, we saw a bear or two a week. It got to be where it wasn't even like cool or interesting. It was just like, hey, there's the bear.
Go get
them off the garbage can. And I was told that they do not hibernate all winter because it just doesn't get cold enough here. They may or may not hibernate for like a month. And a neighbor told me that you see them more during the winter because they're less food. So they actually kind of come around people more. But that being said, I haven't seen a single bear all winter. So I don't know how they work. You know, I suspect we'll see them again come spring. But all the birds come back out. I just got all our hummingbird feeders back out and cleaning up, and we'll make hummingbird nectar. If you get 3 or 4 of those guys out in early spring, you will have a fleet of hummingbirds around your house every day. It's really fun. All the birds come back. We put bird feeders out. Now, bird feeders do bring bears. I've had to chase the bears off the bird feeders, but you definitely see spring life come back into the mountains and the woods for sure. And then by summer, you've got them all. You've got, you know, the coyotes, the snakes, the you know, little mammals, varmints, you know, all that kind of stuff. We've even got wild scorpion. We found a scorpion in the cabin. I think that was in fall they come in when it starts to get cold to try to get out of the cold.
Yeah.
And I guess they hurt about as much as a bee sting. You know, obviously I don't want my 3-year-old to get nipped by a scorpion, but we did have a scorpion just cruise on into the house in fall. So we've got some critters. We've got some wildlife for sure. The bears are my favorite. They're not dangerous as long as you're not stupid. I don't know anybody out here that's gotten bit or you know, in trouble with one.
Yeah.
But you got to be not stupid. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to feed them. You don't want to have food in your car. You don't want to have garbage cans where they can get into them. Mm. You know, if you do see a mama and her cubs, obviously you don't want to go get your, you don't want to go get your Instagram pictures, selfie with the bear cubs, because then you are going to get mauled.
That's your last Instagram photo. Yeah.
But at that point, that's just Darwin. If you're getting mauled to death by a bear because you're trying to take Instagram selfies with it, you're just, you know, taking care of the gene pool for us by getting eaten.
Yes. Slimming it down. Yeah, that was going to be my next question. So you already answered it. It was like,
dangerous?
Well, no, I guess more what's the count for, I guess, people getting attacked by bears out there?
Oh, I don't know anybody. You know, You know, now, and you know, if you hand, there's some people that are into like feeding them to like, we can live at one with nature and, you know, whatever.
No,
that's
you can't.
Stupid. you're taking that animal out of its natural environment and you're providing food for it so that it does no longer is a wild animal. And those people can get bit. I mean, I forget where the town is, but there's some town where they're known for hand feeding the bears, and lo and behold, they have like the highest number of bear bites in the country. Who could have seen that coming? Yeah, so not a problem. The bigger danger is the coyotes and the copperhead snakes.
Yeah,
I mean, we lost a cat to a coyote. It got yopped and gone. We had Claire and Tara were outside playing one day, and a coyote was watching them from the woods, and they came running in, and I just walked out there with a gun and, you know, popped off a couple of rounds to let them know. This ain't, don't come around here.
Yeah.
This ain't for you. But so, coyotes are really the danger. Coyotes will kill your dog.
Yeah. I was reading that Coyote America. I think it's by Dan Flores. If you haven't read it, it's really, really interesting book, man. But coyotes, and, you know, I tend to ask people, like, do you know what it means when a coyote howls? You know, and they're just like, you know, whatever. Some people give me like different reasons, like, oh, you know, they're just howling at the moon, or, you know, they're just that's roll call.
Yeah, exactly.
It's roll call. So when they howl at the moon, they're doing roll call. And if they notice that one of their crew
yep.
doesn't howl back, they all of a sudden, every single one of them start mating. To replace
yes.
that one, and the next thing you know, if you hit one, or if you're a jerk and you kill one, there's going to probably be six more replacing that one. That's why they're in heavy population, and they're starting to show up here in Indiana, in Michigan, and surprisingly, New York and LA have the highest population of coyotes.
Yep, they are extremely tenacious. That roll call thing that you're talking about, if there's a pack of like 8 hunting and they roll call and one doesn't respond, the pack automatically like if they're in like, you know, whatever, 3-3-2 or something like that in their little strike forces, once they realize that one isn't responding, the pack automatically like reforms its formations to make up for that one missing.
Yes.
It's just like second nature to them. And they are diabolical. They will take a female in heat and put it by like a person's lawn to lure the dogs, because the dog will go after a coyote in heat. That female will bring the dog out kind of out into the woods,
yes.
luring it, you know, with its mating scent. And the males are just waiting on the wings, and they just close in, and that's that. I mean, they're like velociraptors.
See,
they're really diabolical.
I as far as I knew, I never knew they really, I guess in some areas they don't. And I guess it is some areas that they don't really attack for like other animals for food, like domestic animals. They just do it for territory. But
sure.
I mean, they also got to eat as well. So, but yeah, I know that they do that. Like some of them will, if they come around like a chicken coop and there's a dog out there, what they call it is the way I say it is they like to honey dick the dog and like, hey, come here. I got something for you.
Yep,
the next
yep.
thing you know, the other ones move in and attack the chicken coop.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, man, coyotes, even though they look dumb, they're not.
Nope. Nope. And like you said, if like the pack loses a male or has less males than it needs, the female can instantly go into heat and somehow like make it so she produces males. Like, I don't even know that we understand quite how they do that right yet, but yeah. Like they can make themselves go into heat and kind of choose the sex that they need. And I don't think we really understand how they do that, which is super weird and interesting.
Yeah, maybe they can tell like which wolf of the pack has the most testosterone, because that, I guess that's like what they say about humans. If you've got like an overabundance of testosterone, you tend to create females. You know,
you tend to create females.
Yeah, and then the ones with less, they start making males, and I'm just like, is that true? Huh. And then I start looking at everybody. I'm like, okay, maybe.
I don't know. I've got a daughter. I mean, all you can do is look at your one little example, but like, you know, I've got a daughter and I would not describe myself as like a testosterone soaked dude.
Well, I guess it all depends. Like, if like, you know, you tend to like build muscle fast, or, you know, just one of those things where you got a lot of energy, or,
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a badass.
He's a wild card, ladies and gentlemen. He's a badass, not one to mess with. But yeah, so that's why I was kind of wondering. I'm like, yeah, this would be a good question to ask him. Like, see what's going on in the woods right now.
Yeah. But,
I mean, I get it with the whole bear thing, because I don't know. I know some about bears, don't know a lot. That's another book I got to read up on. You know, the coyotes I do know a lot, but I just wanted to see. If it's like I don't know if you've ever seen that video of the bear where this guy's fishing and this big brown bear just walks up and sits down next to him. And the guy's got a camera. He looks over and the bear is just like chilling. He goes, "Go away, bear. Go away." And the bear just gets up and walks away.
Yeah, see, now there's a difference between black bears and brown bears. We have black bears. They're like giant raccoons. Don't get me wrong. It's a big animal and it can do some damage, but a brown bear is a grizzly. I'm scared to death of brown bears.
Yeah.
If I saw a brown bear walking at me, I mean, those you can't run from either. They're just going to chase you down and do whatever they want to do.
Oh, yeah. That's 50 miles an hour of, you know, heavy duty, you know.
But with, you know, every animal has personalities just like people, and there probably are some really nice brown bears, but, you know, I'm not going to sit around and find out which one's the nice one and which one's going to maul me to death, like the Revenant style.
Yeah. So... But yeah, I just didn't know if it was like one of those things where they're not really trying to, you know, attack like, you know, the human population, the only way they really want to eat is go through your trash because it's easily accessible to them that way.
Yeah. No, I'd never shoot a bear. You're not going to shoot a coyote. It's just too hard. They're too elusive. But the only animals I would shoot is coyote and snakes. I'll shoot a copperhead if it's on my property. But I'd never shoot a bear. You just go out there and bang some pots and pans together. We've actually even got a little air horn. You just fire off that air horn and they're going to take off. They're just moseying on by looking for something to munch on. But we've got a trail cam and we've picked up. I mean, there's bobcat, there's fox, coyote, wolf, bear, deer, obviously. There's a lot out here. We've got a bobcat that lives across the street. We haven't seen him, but on the trail cam, but he lives right across the street.
Nice.
Just in the woods.
Yeah. But, and I know you sent me some pictures of, your hardware there to, kind of defend yourself against the wildlife, and you're pretty good to go.
I'm not a big gun guy, but we definitely got a gun safe with half a dozen or so shotguns, rifles, big rifle, little rifle. I don't have a handgun, and I really want a little 410 shotgun, because that's really what you want to shoot snakes with, a little 410 with like bird buckshot in it, something like that.
Yeah.
Just point and click, and snake is gone.
Yeah. I mean, even you can even do it with a long rifle, 22 bird shot.
The problem with shooting shot out of a rifle is it pits your barrel, and then you don't have good accuracy when you put a regular bullet back in it. Not that I'm like shooting accuracy, but you know what I mean. You don't want to screw up your rifle barrel. So I want a little 410 and just point and click.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you're going to get a good spread. You're going to get a good spread there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't suffer vipers, man. I don't feel bad about it. I don't take life lightly, but I will shoot a viper.
If it's your family or that viper.
Yeah.
Understandable, man. I mean, that's that again. Like, you see, you know, if you see a mother bear with the cubs, you know, you got to get that instinct right away. Same thing. Like, you're not doing this.
No.
So, all right, man. That was actually good talk. I'm glad we talked about that. I'm glad I asked. Yeah.
But a little Steve Irwin, little Steve Irwin tangent.
Yeah, I'm glad I read that. That again, guys, there's Coyote America. Please read that. It is a very interesting book, man. If you haven't read it, Nate, read it, dude. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, there's some wild animals, for sure.
Okay, let's go ahead and get into this, man. Beer and a song. What you got for a beer, my brother?
So I'm making up for last week when I got my basic beer at the grocery store. I have a chocolate Duchess cherry, which is from Belgium, actually the country, from a town that I can't even begin to pronounce.
Give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Brouwer Rijverhakjavikta.
That was perfect.
imported through Jupiter, Florida, but it is a true Belgium. It is a chocolate Duchess cherry. It is medium dark, not so dark you can't see through, but kind of a maroon red almost. Not too heavy, but certainly not light. Very medium body and color. It does have a sour edge to it, so you got like a chocolate cherry sour dark. I just recently discovered dark sours, and I'm really, really, really enjoying them. All the sours I ever had before were, you know, light, fruity, yellow, pink, stuff like that. And I found this dark sour in Asheville at a brewery up there that couple weeks ago that I told you about. So we went to what's called Greenville Beer Exchange, which is a cool little craft beer store, kind of brick cellar you walk down into. They've got the weirdest, wildest beers from all over the place. And I specifically asked for a dark sour and went through kind of their options and picked up the chocolate Duchess cherry. Medium sours definitely got a cherry tone to it, but a very, very, very good, interesting beer. Way more interesting than the New Belgium 1554 yeah. from Ingles I had last week.
Nice, nice. That sounds delicious, man.
Yeah, it's got a little sour cherry finish. Chocolate front, sour cherry finish. Really, really nice.
And you said this was... Aw, I hear Claire.
You might hear my daughter in the background.
Yeah, I hear her in the background. and this was a sour ale?
So they are, let me read what they're calling it. They're calling it an ale. They're okay. Calling it a chocolate cherry ale. Definitely sour. Looking at some of the notes on the label itself, malt beverage. This is their label description. Exactly. Malt beverage aged in oak casks with natural flavor cherry added. So a little bit of a jumbled translation there, but it's definitely sour ale, and I didn't know that it was aged in oak casks. That's kind of interesting. Nice. gives it a little bit of depth and that kind of woody yes. texture what you get from casks. But absolutely phenomenal beer. Paid way too much money for, you know, like $7 or $8 for one 11 ounce bottle of this, but absolutely delicious.
So worth it then.
Yeah. And that place, I got like a six pack of, you know, a little bit of just anything I wanted to try. Got like a, you know, chocolate peanut butter stout, a couple of other cherries, just really, really interesting stuff. And then the one that we had kind of already talked about yesterday. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and pull up the text message again, just so I get it exactly right. Because this is their description, not mine. Founders KBS Espresso with an X. And their official description is Imperial chocolate and coffee oatmeal stout aged in bourbon barrels, then aged again, and again is capitalized, aged again on espresso beans. And it is a wallop of a beer, man. Your head goes back and forth, up and down. You're trying to figure out what it is, what it tastes like. It's all of those things. It's a wild beer. And it packs a punch, man. I got it on tap, and they would only do a 6 ounce pour because of the alcohol content. I think it was like 14% or something like that.
They do it in a snifter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it was quite a beer. So yeah, I had fun getting to go to a good heady beer store, getting some cool, interesting beer. Picked up a bunch of dark sours, kind of exploring those right now.
Yeah,
having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think the sours, again, because it's going to get warmer, so the stouts, porters, all of the thicker kind of beers are going to start falling back and disappearing, or just kind of just, you know, just be on the back burner. They're going to create, especially with the breweries here, they're going to create a little bit less of them, but they'll still be there. But then the sours, you know, and I was telling you the ales, pilsners,
sure,
lagers, everything like that, all that's going to start popping back up, which isn't bad. I'm not a big IPA fan.
I hate IPAs. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. I'm going to go on the record and say I do not like IPAs.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why that's the only beer you can buy like 90% of the time. It drives me bananas.
It's
maybe not for you up in Chicago, but dude, like in Florida, 99% of beers are IPA.
Yeah.
And even here in South Carolina, 90% of the beers are IPA. It drives me bananas.
It's anywhere right now, man. It was like that when I was in California, and
trendy ass bullshit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, because it was the same way in especially in San Diego, because you know everything in San Diego, you gotta follow what's going on, you know, or else you know you're not gonna get likes on fucking Instagram or whatever.
Yeah, no, we need some Instagram influencers to rise up against IPAs and give us our brown ales and stouts and like.
Yeah, see, and that's you know, that's what I'm kind of hoping here with beer and a song. I love my stouts. I love my porters. I just feel like you can do much more with that. Now, that being said, there's a couple hazy IPAs that, you know, they're making. Like I had one called Peaches and Memes. By which I'm hoping I can get the guy on from Windmill Brewing in Dyer, Indiana. Hoping I can have him come in and we can just talk a little bit about it. But those aren't as bad because you can get the real fruity. You can get, you know, the kind of like a step outside and more flavorful, you know, if it's going to be the peaches, if it's going to be the creamy, if it's going to be a vanilla or anything kind of IPA. So I can appreciate that a little bit. It's just really hard because we had one yesterday and we were talking so much crap about it because it was just, it was so rough to drink and I ended up dumping out the rest of it. It sat there for about 2 hours and I'm not drinking this shit. So I ran over to the sink and dumped it out during the Two Fat Fox podcast and I cracked open a stout because that's how it goes.
Yeah, I don't even find them interesting because it's right now it's just a contest of how much hop you can put in it. So that's all it is. It just tastes like you're chewing on a hop. It doesn't even taste like beer. But people like it, man, or people claim they like it. But like those, you know, double, triple aged IPAs, then dry hopped, where, man, you crack open that can and your nose crinkles up. Like, it's just not for me.
No.
Granted, to each their own, but I'm going to talk all sorts of shit about it because it's just terrible.
Yeah, I remember the first time I had an IPA, I described it as like somebody just got a bunch of rusty pennies, put them in a dirty gym sock, and just poured beer through it.
Yeah. So do you know the origin of IPA? Why IPAs even exist? Have we talked about this?
No.
All right. So IPA stands for Indian Pale Ale, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the reason that it's an India Pale Ale is because when Britain owned the world, when everybody was a colony of Britain, they were running India and Britons liked their beer. So they would boat barrels of beer from Great Britain over to India. But that took so long and, you know, it was hot. So they had to have a way to preserve it. Mm. So they would just stick a bunch of hops in the barrels to preserve it and age it. And of course, that hop would leak out and kind of turn that beer into that India pale ale. And that's how they were invented. They were just a byproduct of Great Britain globalization, colonization, needing a way to preserve beer to give the British rulers their beer.
So it's kind of like the same way they used to preserve meat was just would pack it with fucking salt.
Salt, yeah. Yeah,
they just packed it with hop.
Yeah. They needed that beer to make it across the ocean.
So you might know this. My buddy Bill, I didn't know this, but he told me about IPAs. You can't really fuck up an IPA. If you do a little something too much, you can still put it out there and it'll be okay. Somebody will fucking drink it.
Yeah, because all it has to do is taste like a hop. Like you could take the most worst, busted, nasty beer you've ever made and like dry hop it in hops and sell it as an IPA, and they'll put it on Instagram and say it's the best beer they ever had. Like that's why I don't like it too. Is there's no, and again, this is a very biased opinion. You're gonna have plenty of IPA people, you know, screaming at me as soon as I say this, but like, it just isn't that interesting and a skillful of a beer to me, because all you have to do is make it taste as hoppy as possible and everybody loves it. And well, I just like, that's bullshit to me.
Yeah. It's they even say you can't fuck up an IPA. I mean, to me you can, cause it's going to taste like fucking whatever. I was going to say something very, very inappropriate, but but yeah, I mean, if the thing is you can't mess up an IPA, I'm not interested, you know, because I've been at places where supposedly it's a stout, supposedly it's a porter, and I drink and I'm like, man, this didn't sit long enough, you know?
Yep. Oh, sure.
And it's like, this is too thin for a stout. And I'm like, yeah, something happened here. And you can tell. You know, you can
critique
tell.
It. You can talk about it. Yeah.
IPAs is just like, yeah, it tastes like the last one, just not as bad. You know, it tastes better than this one. This one's a little bit better. This one's worse than that one. Yeah. It's just weird. But I am a big fan. Stouts, porters, pilsners, definitely pilsners. I always believe a pilsner's a good go-to.
Mm-hmm.
Ales and lagers, man. I can't really get much into, you know, the IPA thing. I'll get them if there's one that's tolerable, but it's very few and far between, man. To me, a
brown ale is just the most drinkable beer there is. You can fit any situation, any mood. It's not too much of anything. Anybody can really enjoy it. You know, you can do lots of things with it to make it more interesting. But a brown ale is just like a slow pitch right down the middle, you know, no brainer beer to me.
Yeah, there we go. So you're.
But what are you drinking, man? We've been all over the map today.
Yeah, yeah. So okay, so what I'm drinking is called Extra Fudge. It is an Imperial Chocolate Stout, and the name of it is called Morbidly Obese Pug. And it is we're looking at 10 horsepower here. It's it says ale brewed with chocolate, vanilla, and lactose, and it's coming out of Chicago, Illinois, from Maplewood Brewing Company. Huh. You know, again, being the stout guy that I am, this one is not as thick as other ones that I've had. Very tasty. Right off the bat, you can just taste the chocolate, man. This thing is very, it's heavy, not as heavy, but very tasty, high alcohol content. So this birthday party I'm going to, I'm going to be a little toasty, but they got food there, so I should be good right away.
There you go.
This is another one, you know, during cold weather, you just, you know, chill out inside, just sip on this one. You don't want to go chugging away at this. It's one that you would appreciate just to sit and sip on. All the flavors, the aroma, everything with that. Nothing too crazy for an Imperial Stout. It's not as strong. You can definitely get through it if you're trying to get into or getting into stouts or doing whatever you want to do. Definitely get this one and just sip away at it because very chocolatey, very heavy. You can taste, you know, again, the lactose, chocolate, vanilla. So I'm happy with this one. Again, guys, in the local area, it is called Maplewood Brewing Morbidly Obese Pug.
Now, does the label have a pug on it?
It's a brown. Okay, so I took a picture of it, but I'll send it to you. So what it is, it's a brown can, not a sticker, but it looks like one of those labels you put on. All right.
Okay.
It's got an orange circle, and it's just like a kind of like a very, how can I explain this? It looks like the outline of the eyes and the eyebrows and the collar and the little pug mouth.
Okay.
But that's all it really is. I took a picture of it so everybody will be able to see it. But the logo does have a pug on it. It's just very kind of like boxy, squarey, straight line-ish kind of whatever. And then it's got one of the Chicago stars on it, on the collar. So that's how you know it's from the city. But, nice, yeah, I mean, nice. You look around and it's got a bunch of X's that are made out of dog bones.
Okay. So and it's got it uses its pug reference.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah, that's definitely on here. So, yeah. Yeah, I do enjoy this one. I cracked one open when I first got this, and I was blown away. So, very delicious, people. And then I got a couple more coming in, man. So, I'm definitely locked and loaded for more beer and songs. So that's what I'm drinking. Again, sticking with the stout. I think I might pull a fast one on the next one. We'll see what happens though. A lot of stouts coming in. Yeah, we'll see. I got a buddy.
You going White Claw next time?
Yeah, I'm gonna No, they have another one. It's like called Mermaid or something like that. It's somewhere along the line. It's really ridiculous. I forgot what it is. Yeah. I'm going to pull that one out.
I guess in the grand scheme of things, I'd rather drink an IPA than a White Claw, and I'd rather see another human being drink an IPA than a White Claw. So I'm going to stop talking. I take everything. No, I don't take everything back I said about IPAs, but I am less against IPAs just because people drink White Claws now.
Yeah. There we go. IPA. Well, there was a meme that said, like, IPAs to hipsters are what pumpkin spice is to basic chicks.
Yeah, sure.
All right, man. So that's what I'm drinking. That's what you're drinking. Go ahead and give them a look. Nate, if you can do me a solid, just send me a picture of that, please.
Yeah.
And then I'll post that up, too. But let's go ahead and get into our songs, man. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
It don't matter. You're the boss here.
I'll tell you what. I'll go ahead. Since I make everybody else go first with theirs, man, I think I'm going to go ahead and I'll knock mine out real quick. And then we'll go right on to yours. So the one I'm picking today... never really heard of this band up until maybe about a month ago by my bass player in my band, Marty. Shout out to Marty. He said, hey, man, you guys give this a listen. He pops it on, and right away, the song just kind of threw me back because it's so, okay, well, let's put it this way. So the song is by a band called Tower of Power. It's kind of like a soul funk, kind of jazz funky group. I guess the song is called What Is Hip, and it's from 1973. Basically, the song, meaning What Is Hip, is about being hip and how short-lived it is. Basically meaning, you know, you're looking at the trend of everything that's going on, the way you style your hair, the kind of shoes that you're wearing, the kind of pants, everything, clothing, the way you talk, everything. And there's a part in the song that says, oh my God, I'm already forgetting the lyric. What might be hip today, you know, could become passe. Basically meaning, you know, and if you stop and look as from, you know, 73 up until now, everything has just completely changed from style of clothing, hair to music, just in general. So the song is very, very funky. And the thing I liked about it the most is it's got this running bass line. Basically through the entire song, which has some kind of change up in it as well, but it's not a constant one steady note. It switches up, but the way the guy does it is just, it's so style. It's fucking cool. Everything from the singer to the horns, to the guitars, to the drums, to the bass it reminds me of James Brown. Funky. This is the type of music that always catches my ear, man. And I just fall in love with it. And it's also fun to play, especially on the drums. Trying to look into it, I didn't have much time considering that this was a crazy week. But it's a song that I just played constantly over and over again in the headphones while I was driving. But I'm mainly picking it because, it's a great sound. It's a great sound. It's a great song. It's funky. Makes you just want to put that left hand over the belly button and try to do your best James Brown move. But that's my pick. I can't really say much else about it other than the fact that, kind of touching down, you know, that they saw it back then and it's happening now, that we see it happening in music and style, in clothing and style and everything, that everything changes, you know, as time goes on. Every style of music, rock, hip hop, rap, anything, it's all going to change no matter what. There's nothing we can really do about it, you know, whether it takes a good turn or a bad turn. So my song is What Is Hip by Tower of Power.
Exactly sure what's him.
Hit by Tower of Power. What do you think about that, Nate?
Yeah, definitely like James Brown vibe. That was my immediate feel and reaction. But more interestingly, when you just said that was from 1973, that kind of like shocked me. I thought that was like a modern song, just had that old style feel. And the reason that's kind of surprising is that song is every bit as pertinent today as it was in 1973. I mean, you could say that song was about Instagram and social media and like trying to keep up with it all and look a certain way. And that's all like, you know, today that theme is happening right now. You know, you go out to eat with somebody and they spend more time taking pictures of their food and posting on social media than they do eating the food and talking to you, you know. It's just weird. So when you said that was from 1973, I didn't know that until you said that. That's wild, because that means that song aged very well, you know, 40, 50 years, and it is every bit as true today, if not more true today than it was in 1973.
Yeah.
So yeah, great, great song, great vibe, great lyrics. I didn't know it was from 73. That's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Right. And that's, you know, because the first thing I heard when Marty played it was just that running bass line.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, this is bad as fuck. Like, who are these guys? And then I started listening to it more and the words, and I was like, okay, wait a minute. This is pretty interesting, because this is the way I feel right now about everything that's going on, you know?
Sure, sure. It talks about, you know, your hair being just so and hanging out in all the right places with all the right faces or something like that. Like, it's got some clever little lyrics that, again, you could be singing about 2020 just as easily, if not more.
Yeah, so that was my song. You know, I'm a big funk and blues guy, and that definitely that definitely, you know, caught my ear. And also, I mean, that album itself, I mean, it came off the self-titled album, you know, Tower of Power. Excuse me, but it's also on the Best Of. That Best Of is pretty damn amazing, you know, because it goes from stuff like that to things that sound like Brown Eyed Girl.
Huh.
And I'm just like, man, that's really cool. That's really, really cool. So
yeah, I like when you get a range, and you know, they don't sound like the same. You can't pigeonhole them every song. You know, things shift and morph and get different. That's fun.
Yeah, yeah. So that's What Is Hit by Tower of Power, guys. Go check it out, please. Great song.
Yep.
Oh, also, I don't know if you took a deep dive into this at all, or a small dive into the shallow end of the pool, but there's I think there's like 8 dudes, and I think like 6 out of the 8 dudes are all white boys.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I was like,
plot
what?
Twist.
I was like, what? Get out of here. These guys got some soul. But definitely a good song, definitely a good band. I'll probably be listening to them more as time goes on. So that's what that is. Ladies and gentlemen, go give it a listen, download it onto your phones, and keep listening to it. Good music is always a good thing. Nate, what you got for us?
So I am doing just what I'm listening to right now. You know, all my other picks have been, you know, there's been a reason, there's been a story, there's been some big thing to explain and unload and blah, 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 blah. This is just what I'm listening to right now. Although there's a good story behind why I'm listening to it. I'll get to that. But the band is Stoplight Observation. They're from Charleston, South Carolina, so somewhat of a local-ish band for me. Charleston's kind of out on the coast. I'm up in the mountains, but South Carolina. They've been around for a few years. I have a feeling they're probably a College of Charleston band. Their debut album was 2012. They had a couple of albums after that, one in 2013, one in 2016. And then they just released a couple of singles, which maybe they're gearing up for another album. I'm not 100% sure, but they are out on tour. And from what I hear, they are like the hip thing blowing up, and their shows are selling out. You know, some little, you know, local venue spot sold out, can't get in. So how I found out about them, my buddy Graham, same age as me, you know, 36, 37, he just had twin boys, him and his wife. So he's got 6-7-month-old twin boys. And he was going out with a friend for a dad night out. You know, you don't get many of those when you got little babies. Believe me, I know. And they were just going to, I don't know even know where they were, but they were going to some little local venue, see whoever was playing. Stoplight Observation was playing, and it was sold out. And he was not going to let that stop dad's night out. So they climbed, I believe it was the Waffle House next door. They climbed the fence up onto the roof and like jumped off the roof into the back of the venue to like sneak in and like went in. And he was just like, dude, it was one of the best shows I've seen in a long time. Just such good energy, such good showmen, like just put on a hell of a show. And like everybody that he talked to, like knew the band, went to school with them, was friends with them, worked with them. So they are like blowing up, have this like dedicated following, and such a good sound. I mean, I've went back and listened to their catalog. And they have like this, their early stuff has this like black keys, even maybe like rusted root kind of gravelier vibe to it. And then it kind of shifts and changes, and their 2016 album sounds a lot like Rainbow Kitten Surprise, where it just has this upbeat, fast, kind of energetic, sounds happy, even if they're not like singing about happy stuff, like just a good energy and vibe to it. So the song that I picked is Too Young, and it's actually one of their newer singles from 2018, and that's Too Young, to the number two, and then young, and it's all one word, I guess. So the number two, Y-O-U-N-G, is the exact title. And just a really, really catchy, like, good beat, awesome song. Not the happiest of lyrics. It's kind of talking about how we always think it's like the end of times, that the world's ending, that, you know, everything's, it's all bad news, and what do you do with that? And he kind of has this refrain where he essentially says, you know, oh well, I guess I'm gonna die too young. Like, there, you know, you can't stop every bad thing you've ever heard. At some point, you just have to, you know, keep on living. And, you know, his refrain is, oh well, I guess I'm just gonna die too young. But it's got some hilarious like lyrics in it where I'm just going to do one little verse. I walked outside and saw something that I had never seen. All of my neighbors were butt naked and were turning green. They started reading out of the book of Revelations, proclaiming that some Superman is going to come to save them. To ease my mind, I started smoking herb and drinking booze. And then a wrinkled man, he popped up on the breaking news. He started laughing and he hung his head and sighed. Oh my, I think we're all about to die. And like, that's like, dark but funny at the same time, like takes a poke at religion, which I always appreciate, something taking a poke at religion. And again, it's just got this like fast, upbeat, cool like sound while this is going on. And even though this is from 2018, I think it just fits really well right now. I mean, it's only early March 2020. We've only had 2 months of 2020. And in those 2 months, we had, you know, what we thought was going to be World War III with Iran. We had Australian wildfires destroying an entire country. We, of course, have coronavirus running rampant across the world. The economy has finally taken a downturn after a number of years of moving up. Like, it just seems like, you know, shit's real heavy right now. Of course, the United States has a presidential election this year, and Trump is the president, however you feel about that. Like, it just seems like things are like, damn, the world's heavy right now. And this song just, I like how this song turns that every time thought it was the end of the world. You know, you could go back through history and point out a million times where people thought it was the end of the world. And at some point you have to just, you know, keep on keeping on. You got to just keep on living.
Yeah.
What's the line from Shawshank Redemption? Get busy living or get busy dying. Yeah. I mean, I feel like this song is that, you know, get busy living, get busy dying, or get busy dying, you know, take your pick. So it's a fun, like upbeat, just awesome vibe song. But at the same time, it's talking about heavy stuff, but kind of making a light of that heavy stuff. And that can be hard to do, to kind of, you know, stay right in between heavy and dark and upbeat. And, you know, you got to care about the world around you, but you can't just like lose yourself in obsessing about every terrible thing around you. So, you know, it's a tough balance. And I feel like this song gets that balance kind of just right. And it just sounds so damn good doing it.
Goddamn, ladies and gentlemen, the great explainer strikes again.
That was stoplight awesome, observation, too young. I guess I'm gonna die too young, too young, too young, too young.
Chase a psychedelic rat into a black hole, and he crawled out real fat. He started bleeding shades of purple on the pavement, exclaiming the awakening was so close he could taste it. To ease my mind, I put on 1992 cartoons, and then a wrinkled man, he popped up with some breaking news. He started screaming as he pointed at the sky. Oh my, I think we're all about to die. outside and saw something that I had never seen. All of my neighbors were butt naked and were turning green. They started reading out the book of Revelations, proclaiming that some Superman is gonna come and save them. To ease my mind, I started smoking herb and drinking booze. And then a wrinkled man, he popped back on the breaking news. He started laughing as he hung his head inside. But my, oh my, I think we're all about to die. Wow.
Stoplight observation with the song Too Young. I mean, I want to, I'd like to kind of talk about the song, but Nate just kind of took everything that I wanted to say and just threw it all there at the beginning, man. So,
so, but what'd you got? If you had some similar thoughts, man.
Now, here's the thing. I said this when Donald Trump became president and I saw everybody's reaction. I said, for the next 4 years, music is going to become fucking awesome.
Yeah, protest music is about to get good again.
Yes, and I'm like, Rage Against the Machine is probably going, fuck yeah, let's try to write something. So yeah, when they come back around, I'm expecting a new song, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm hoping for a new song. So I'm going to try to stay sober during that show so I can see what they got. But yeah, man, you know, and you were just explaining during the break that the album covers that they have, one was of Donald Trump and the other one was of Hillary Clinton, and that
so,
you said
yeah,
one of
two
them,
of the
one
single
of them,
covers,
yes.
Yeah.
And you said one of them, one of those songs is something to listen to, and it'll just kind of like
I wouldn't say either song was written specifically about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. They're not political songs in the sense of like trying to be specific about that. But the each single, that person does fit that theme. And they were both out in 2016, which, of course, was the election year. Let me just give you the title so you can see what I mean. The single that has Donald Trump on the cover is called Aquarius Apocalyptic, which, you know, Donald Trump, the apocalypse, that fits. And the Hillary Clinton one is called Security, but it's about like if you have everything you're supposed to need and want and you work for, why would you still feel unhappy? And I think that's a pretty good fitting theme for Hillary Clinton. You know, you're happy enough, just be content. Is, you know, was kind of the theme of her campaign, essentially. So, yeah, so lots of good tracks, lots of good albums. I kind of really like this band. And again, I've been listening to them for like, you know, I don't know, 2 weeks, and just something new on my radar that I've been enjoying.
Yeah, definitely something, which is why I appreciate having you do this with me, man, because again, as I explained, you know, looking into your, when we started hanging out and I looked into your CD catalog that you had, I was like, this motherfucker has knowledge on music. Like, Jesus. And it's obviously still going. I don't know how you hear about these bands, but right when I start giving up on music, man, you pop up and go like, hey, give this a listen. So I do appreciate that, man, because, you know, and I think I explained it in a text that the break that they had, like that bridge or the breakdown.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, dude, that was fucking amazing. And I'm like, I'm gonna keep jamming these guys. These guys are great. And like I said, I had tried to find an album from them. It was a little difficult, but I really didn't deep dive into it. But I'm going to have to now. I do got a long day ahead of me. I am going to do laundry. So I will be doing that and cleaning the apartment while listening to this, while listening to these guys. So not much else I can say that you haven't said already, my friend. So again, with that being said, man, I guess we should just wrap this up and then figure out when we're going to get back on and do this again. We'll try to coerce Joe to join us. But, yeah, guys.
Always a good time. Always a good time. Always enjoy it. Always enjoy the music, the beer, and, of course, talking to you, buddy.
Exact same, my friend. So, guys, this is Roger and Stone, Northwest Indiana edition. I might keep that. I might take that out. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But always a pleasure, Nate. Love you, brother. Love what you do. Love you for doing this with me. Yeah, guys.
For sure, man.
Get out there.
Listen. Love you too, brother.
Get out there, listen to this music, share it with your friends, and, you know, just...
Yeah, get out there and have a beer and enjoy a song.
Yeah, guys. All right, this is the Raj... This is the Jesus Christ, that 10% hit me, man. This is the Roger and Stone Show. Beer and a song. All right, man. Watch your cornhole, guys. I'll talk to you.